Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Two Narrows podcast. I'm your host, James, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Timmy Long.
Hi, everyone.
Gwen Harris is in the hot seat today. You are the Regional Director of MABS, Money and Budgeting Service for North Dublin.
Yep, Regional Manager.
Yeah. Regional Manager.
Director is fine. Everybody knows I'm very important.
Overlord.
Overlord.
My wife is probably saying, no, Timmy, you better be listening to her.
My own is the same. My own. Can you define financial well-being for me?
What does it mean? Yeah. Right. So, well, I suppose financial well-being, like, it's like avocado, isn't it, really? It's a new buzzword. You see it on the telly at the moment. You see Baz and the Bank of Ireland ads, and I'm not picking any bank, but it's just the one that comes to mind. Financial well-being is basically being in control of your finances. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have more money or earn more money. It's that you're in control. So, but it's part of the bigger dimension of well-being. Like, if you think about how financial well-being like impacts your mental, your physical health, like people become quite ill if they're struggling, your social health, as in your relationships, your career health, can you study, can you socially migrate, can you, you know, so
your ability to parent,
your ability to
stressed about finances, how can you sit down and, you know, do homework with somebody, you know, if all your energy is going into, you know, maybe out doing a couple of jobs. And the child then, you kind of do the bare minimum then to try and get the child through school. And it's the stress in the home impacts your ability to parent as well.
Well, we had, just to kind of illustrate that, we did research 2 years ago and we had a gentleman who graciously, and we're very grateful, allowed us to record him and use his soundbite when we're talking about debt. And he said that he could not hear his children talking to him. They were talking, but he couldn't hear them because he was so consumed with, how am I going to pay that bill? How am I? And he had worked, he was working 40 hours. He started working 60 hours. He started working more. He became ill from trying to work too much, but it was direct relationship effect on his children. He was so stressed. So for me, financial well-being is key to all our well-being.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that they're all in the one dimension together, really, and they all impact on each other. But financial well-being does have quite a good amount of possible negative and possible positive impacts on our life if we get it. So, but it's just basically about having control.
Yeah. Do you know, for MABS, do people come to you looking for advice? Are they always in poverty or are they just people struggling to manage their finances? Or what's a typical kind of profile of somebody coming to your service?
Typically, people are struggling by the time they reach out to us. Now, I would love, if I had a magic wand, to change it that people were reaching out to us before things got really bad. When people come to us, it doesn't matter what their background. They are generally embarrassed, being in debt or having money management issues has a lot of shame, guilt. It has such a negative thing, you know, so that people probably have never spoken to anybody about it before they come to talk to us. So, and that would be probably the first impact that we can have, is them being able to talk to somebody without being judged. And so I would love to see people coming to us earlier, before they feel judged, before they feel overwhelmed, physically sick, emotionally sick, anything like that, you know. So,
what are some of the biggest issues people are having these days today with their money in relation to their cost rises and inflation, stuff like that?
Yeah, everything that you said, the cost of living is affecting everybody. You know, it's affecting all of us. Food has gone up, fuel has gone up, a lot of stuff has gone up, but unfortunately the wages haven't gone up to match it. And so the key to keeping well in that is having the ability to look at your budget and kind of realign it as you can. Now, I do appreciate that not everybody has the ability to realign, because maybe the money is just so tight that they can just pay for the bare essentials. And if those bare essentials go up in cost, everything's going to go out of kilter. But some people do have an ability to maybe move things around, like have, if I can explain myself, I had in my budget, I will have three things in my budget. I have my absolute must pays. So I know then,
rent, my mortgage, bills, gas, electric,
food on the table. Yeah, they're the absolute must pays. Then I have at the far end, my wish list. So that's what I'm working towards if I have a goal. Right? Sometimes it's nice to have a goal. That could be anything.
Like a nice car.
It could be anything from not having to borrow for Christmas.
Or a
car or a holiday. So that's your goal. And then in between, I have the grey area. So that could be
coffees, takeaways.
Coffees, takeaways, they're important. You're important to have a treat in your budget. Like, you can't live on grapefruits forever or it'll collapse. But in that, I have the ability to change the amounts. Like, do I maybe get one coffee a week instead of a coffee every day? But also in that is my food budget. Because for me, my food budget is one that I can influence. So like, I can be, and this is only me personally, but I can do a lot of zero food waste or reduced food waste, you know, where you're kind of trying to throw out less, and the less you throw out, the more you save. So those little things, it's not...
Do you know where I waste a lot of money? I do a big shop. Then I'm fucking eating out. Not eating out like going to restaurants, but getting a roll, a wrap, a bar of coffee. I put away some money during the week doing stuff like that.
Yeah. And then...
It's common.
It's very common. And then you'll find, though, that you have food waste. So not only do you have your big shop and the extra cost of your takeaways or food out, right? Yeah. But then you have the food waste. So you have to pay for that to be collected.
Yeah.
So there's another cost then, there's the environmental cost, your bin charges. And this kind of conversation is what I would say. So parents are generally embarrassed. I don't know if I can ask you guys personally, like, but would you be embarrassed about talking about money, or would you be happy with family or whatever? It's
depends. It's
a private thing.
In the context.
Really,
I'm a bit more open about it. My wife wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Like, she'd often, like, if I might say something and she might roast me afterwards. Like, don't be talking like that in front of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think for me, because for most of my life, I didn't have it. So I know when I started on, and it's like I didn't really know how to manage it. And it was like, if I had money in my pocket, it was like I had to fucking get rid of it and spend it. You know, but I'm only recently, you know, I have a mortgage, you know, and I have car loans, and you know, the usual things that people, grown-ups have, adults have, and I kind of have to learn, but I'm still learning with money, and I can be impulsive with money. Do you know, I'm trying to break that habit and trying to build, I suppose, a network.
A nest egg.
Instead of like having a bank account that you go through, do you know what I mean?
And go to zero every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you say, Timmy, it depends on who you're talking to and the context.
Yeah, and the context of your situation at that stage as well. For example, a few years ago when I was in college, my wife was working in a childcare setting. The wages there were minimum wage. We were counting every single penny that was coming in and going out of the house. And some weeks you'd have maybe €20 for a takeaway left. And we appreciated absolutely everything we had, because we had to watch everything. And then fast forward 2 years later, the two of us are working. That kind of structure is gone. So now it's like, my wife always says to me, okay, you can't manage money.
Yeah.
And she's probably right. You know, whereas she has always had to manage money in her budget because of her being on her own, minding kids, me being in college for a number of years. And it's always been something that she has had to manage. Whereas me then, I'm very free in the hand. I don't look at money as in something that's going to be required throughout my life. I look at it as what I have in my pocket. And if it needs to be spent or bought today, if it's going to make me my life easier.
Easier or better or nicer or a good feeling about yourself.
Not so much the nicer or better.
Okay.
Easier for me.
Easier. Okay.
I always, if it's going to make my life easier and it's worth it. And when I say easier, I mean on a well-being aspect, as in my mental health and my well-being. And if something helps me with that, I will always go for it. You know, but I don't really budget for anything.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, well, look, I have to be very honest. And that's half the battle is being honest with yourself. So the first thing is to know what kind of a spender you are. So are you impulsive? Are you triggered? You know, and then when you know, you can start getting control on that a little bit. It's the same thing with writing down the budget. So a budget is literally two pieces of paper or one piece of paper or an Excel sheet or whatever way you're comfortable with doing a budget. And it's literally everything that comes into the house and everything that goes out. But being really honest is hard. Because if you're really honest, there's stuff maybe on it that you're kind of challenging yourself. Should I be buying that or whatever? But when you put down the two sets of numbers, that's when you start to have control. Now, they mightn't balance. And it could be a negative. And it could be a very depressing thing to look at first. But first of all, you know that you're in trouble or that you might be in trouble. You know that actually now I need to look for help and support. And that's starting to take control. So you haven't really increased your income. Maybe you're not ready to challenge yourself on your spending. But the first thing is just knowing where you sit financially. Mm-hmm. What's coming in, what's going out, what you want to change. You mightn't want to change anything. But if you're honest with yourself, maybe there are things that you want to change. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, because I know from previous podcasts you've talked about it, and I had reached out to Dan Sweeney before he was on yourselves because he was really honest.
You contacted us afterwards, did you?
Yeah.
I remember that now.
Yeah, going back, yeah.
Because we touched on the topic of bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy. And Dan had come out on his own page and talked about his bankruptcy. And I had messaged him saying, fair play, because people need to hear that it's okay. Because we have this big failure. I'm a failure if I'm in debt. I'm a failure if I need help. Not at all. You know, life takes so many twists and turns. And the important thing is that we actually try and take control. And if you can think, like, if you're going to sleep worrying about the bills, think what's that doing to your mental health, your emotional health, even your stomach. You know, and that has such a big cyclical effect. And you get caught in that hamster wheel of feeling sick about money. And then maybe if not being able to work, maybe not being able to work as much, maybe drinking more because you're feeling out of control.
Families, that feeling is based on just enough of money being brought in for food and to pay the bills or to pay the rent. Like at the moment, we've a housing crisis, okay? And I know there are people out there and all they're doing is working to pay their rent.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, they'll be homeless because it rises in rents. The average wage for anybody, I think, is between 500 and 600 euros. You can correct me on that now.
It's in and around, it depends on.
What's the average rent for one by the apartment in Dublin is about $2,000.
Yeah, it's about $2,000. You like, that's somebody's income. Like, it is,
it's not far behind that in Cork. I think it's about 13, maybe 1,400. So we're really, really not giving people
a chance. Yeah. Like the housing thing is a whole other thing, and I know I've heard a few other podcasts. Like I saw Terence Power talking with Micheál Martin about it as well, and it's not going to be solved anytime overnight. But I suppose from my perspective, of what I would be saying to anybody who is stuck in a situation around affordable rent or otherwise, is to maybe reach out. There has been quite a lot of changes in entitlements. So like in January this year, 80,000 people extra from December qualified for a fuel allowance, which is a huge piece. You know, it's an extra, especially it's during the winter months, it's during the cold. There was then the work and family payments. There's a lot of extra benefits that maybe people don't know about. So
and for working families as well.
Yeah.
There was
working family payment.
There was a raise as well in the threshold for 20% income tax.
Yeah.
So I think in our household it went from I probably won't say because I'll get slaughtered by my wife. But I think you can bring in your earnings can be a little bit higher at the 20% bracket, whereas last year you'd be taxed on 40%.
Yeah, you'd go over the bracket.
Makes a difference.
It does make a huge difference.
Because it pays
difference.
If you will,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, and there was a few other changes like around USC, but look, it's everybody's the same. My husband's an accountant, but he can't budget. So I wouldn't worry about
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be asking him to fucking do a job for me.
He can budget billions for a company, but not in it. Because you see, when you think your budget has such emotion to it, everything you think about, like so when you think about how you learn about money, it's actually a big term. It's financial socialization. So any socialization is what you observe as a child. You watch behaviors, you listen to, you pick up attitudes. Mm-hmm. So if you grow up in a household where money is really tight, you can feel that, you may be able to sense that. And that shapes your relationship with money going forward. Mm-hmm. If you grow up in a household where everything is quite open, and this is the challenge we're going to face now because we're so digital. So all my bills come into an email address. I don't get anything in the post.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen my bank card and I don't know how long because I pay with my phone or my watch.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we should be cashless, but it's just how I do because I lose a lot of things, so I don't lose. And I find for me, I budget better on my phone. Some people prefer cash. One of my kids prefers cash. One of my kids prefers cards. Mm-hmm. So everybody's different. Work with what you're comfortable. But the reason I'm talking about digitalization is as where the next generation's coming along, they're not seeing cash.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I grew up and I, do you remember the little brown envelopes that your wage packets?
Yeah.
And there was no GDPR. Had your name, your tax, everything written on the front, only short of what you had for dinner on the front of it. So I remember my dad coming in with that, but I knew that we would go shopping the next day. Big shop, food shop. And then I knew as well that afternoon tea biscuit tin would come out, which never had a biscuit. Mm-hmm. I always had bills or a sewing kit.
Yeah.
And in went the bills.
Right. What is it with the sewing kits and the bills?
I know, in those tins. But you couldn't pay your bills bit by bit back then.
That's right.
Because I'm that old. You had to actually pay them in one to the exact penny of how much you owed. So there was a lot of saving. So I got to experience that myself. I got to see it. And then my lads had no chance. I am completely digital. Now I'm cashless. So what would they learn sitting at home?
I think that probably money is like an abstract kind of a thing. It's not tangible. Mm. And it's just numbers that transfer between different accounts for products and services. But it's not really, the grasp on money is different. The concept of money is a bit different, is it?
See, there's no emotion to it. So the thing that you can do is bring it back into the house by talking about bills, printing a bill. If you get them online, print one bill and leave it around or talk about a bill or have a calendar.
Yeah.
And Mabs, we do a calendar, which is like visual. So like it has a little sticker for a house, a sticker for a gas bill or electricity bill, put them all over and it's visual. This is what's going to be paid. It's not a scary bedtime story. Your kids look at the electricity bill.
It's just a reality check.
The reality. It's just reminding them that things have to be paid because socialization is by watching and learning, not necessarily by being, you know, directly taught. So the opportunities by cash, by bills, and some households are still cashed, absolutely, and cash-based, and they still get paper bills. So children in those households see it. But it's just as an adult, we need to be conscious that we're not going to see it now.
There'll be no cash in maybe 40 years' time.
Maybe not,
because people these days in their 30s and 40s are rarely using cash. By the time they're 80, now look at the kids born today, they don't know what cash is.
Cash is,
Revolut, no, and whenever they're sending requests to their mother and fathers and their parents. But you have the teenagers, it's not cash. So in 40 years' time, I'm thinking that because I'm using card now and you are in James's, everything's going to be card.
Cards,
or electronic, everything will be digital. I think there'll be no cash available.
Mm.
Mm. But you know, I tell you a funny one about cash and card before you come in. My nephew is 9 and the niece is 6. So I bought them into the Smiths anyway, right? So they had a tenner each and they wanted this thing. It was like 13 euros.
Mm.
So when we got to the till, I bought whatever I bought, right? And I wanted them to buy their own thing and get their change or whatever. But what they brought up to the till was more than what they had.
Yeah.
So they needed an extra 3 euros each.
Yeah.
So what I did is I tapped my card and I put their tenner in my pocket.
Yeah.
And they says to me, you could at least give us our money back since we didn't need it. They didn't understand.
And
they thought, like,
they thought it was just, it was free.
Given.
Well, do you know,
I get it.
Well, that my now 22-year-old, I remember saying to me one day in the car, and he was like, I can't wait to get one of those cards. And I said, what card? And it was a debit card. And he said, oh, one of those cards, we can just buy stuff. And that was when the penny started dropping with me. They're not really getting that this is money. So I went too far. And one of them, we had gone in and we were trying to write our letter to Santi. And one of the lads was like, you know, I said, no, I used to bring them around Smiths if they didn't know what they wanted to write their letter, you know. And I said, I'll just have this. And it was 30 euro. And I was like, do you want it, Nelson? No, because, you know, Santi needs money for other children as well. Yeah. And I realised I had gone too far, you know. So, because I had got a fright when they didn't realise that my card was my money. But then I went a little too far and scaring them about money.
I've come down to my house and talk to my kids about that.
I know.
My kids just think there's
a never-ending
card.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bother.
But you have to think how, like, that's... But, yeah. It's kind of a natural assumption as a child. Yeah. You see this card, it's just, boop, thanks very much.
When Natalie see me taking money out of the ATM, my barber is cash only.
Yeah.
Pure tax dodger, like. So I went to the ATM every week to get, and she's like, why don't you take out 1,000 and we go shopping? It's like, you know, that's my money.
Yeah.
I have to work with that money, you know what I mean?
It's not the bank's money. I'm not taking out the bank's money.
She's like, that's, if you have that card, you get cash, it's great.
Yeah. The government just give you a card.
There's your card. You top it up there all you want.
But you don't learn about this thing, this stuff in school, should I not?
No, and I don't, like, Mabs, we have done a lot of work with schools, and we've just finished Global Money Week, so it's, obviously, we can't take credit for it because it's global, and we'd love to, but it's internationally, I think about 173 different countries take part, and they would have all different schools, they take a team every year, and then, so we go out to schools, and we hit the kind of 15-year-olds, the TY, usually in and around that age. And what it is really talking about attitudes to money and kind of giving that value or some kind of a notion of what money actually is, a sense of it. Because like at that stage at TY, they're going to be probably either leaving school and getting a job or leaving school, maybe going to college or leaving early, maybe getting a trade. Either way, they're going to get a wage packet somewhere, whether it's a social transfer, social welfare support, or whether they're going to get a part-time job. But you don't give somebody the keys of the car without doing a theory test. Will we give you a wage without ever seeing that you know how to do it and what is it and how do you read your tax? And it's, the problem I think is that it's very difficult, going back to the behaviour piece and the home and the emotional piece around money. So there always would be that risk that if you start teaching it very, very openly and intrusively in schools, that somebody would go, well, my mom... Actually, I know that she smokes 40 cigarettes a day, and I'm not picking on anybody who smokes. But child would then go, well, then, well, she didn't do that. Why, and challenging the parent on what they're spending. And it's not the job of the school to have a child challenge a parent. So we do a lot, Mabs, we do a lot of work. We don't, like, people would always think of Mabs as just working one-to-one with people who are in difficulty. But actually, we do a lot of education. So we do a lot of education here at Ballymun. We do it with parents groups. So we're an age-friendly organisation. So we try to work with people who are over 60s, maybe coming up to retirement, maybe have retired, and are just struggling to... Because you think they've gone from working today to not working tomorrow.
You know, free government service.
Yeah.
It's
government. We're totally free. So, and we have a lot of buzzwords around what I think. So we're free. to anybody. So we're totally confidential and we're independent.
Help businesses as well?
No. So, but we can help guide businesses as to where to go. A business debt is treated generally, so we do consumer debt. Now, if somebody was a sole trader, as in like a painter or a taxi driver or whatever, they're kind of straight into their family home is part of their business, really, in a way. So, yeah, we would support people in a trade as well, a sole trader. But we our website actually will have a lot of tools and tips that people can go online and they can do what's called a financial health check, first financial health check, and go in and say, OK, and that's that budget piece and being really honest and saying, what's my debts? What's my income? What's my outgoings? And see, being really honest with yourself. This isn't pass it to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and you know, just talking about that, one of the first things that we would have done with new staff in MAVS. Now, I'm in MAVS since I interviewed in late 95. I'm in, so I'm here since 96. And I started in Finglas.
Wow. What's your man involved in the startup there? What was his name? Eddie something from Cork. Was he just a different...
Liam thing? Edwards from Cork.
Eddie Hobbs.
He worked with us on a program, one of his programs. We had worked with him, but the first... did open in Cork, so you can have that one.
And it comes under the funding, like Citizens Information.
Yeah, so we're through Citizens Information, which is through the Department of Social Welfare. So we're part of the social inclusion and the financial inclusion and community and voluntary pieces. But
now, if somebody is their home has been repossessed, can you advocate for them? Would you go to court with them?
Yeah, well, we're not. This is we don't have a voice in court, but we can go into court, and we do actually. We have so under Awalia. So most people will know. Just I'm always conscious to say, but Awalia is the Irish for Home.
Yeah,
and so there's a cross departmental project between justice, finance, and social welfare, and it's to keep people in their home, particularly people who are in long term mortgage arrears. And within that project, we have court mentors. So they're MABS advisors who go to every court where there's a repossession hearing and they'll talk to you outside. They'll tell you, because it's a scary place. Yeah. It's not like what's on the telly. I remember my first time going in and it wasn't my case. I just couldn't get over it. It was so loud. It was quite like a cattle mart nearly. There was so many people in and out and you couldn't hear your name being called. So court mentors will talk to people and they'll say, look, there you are on the list. You're number 15. Here's what you need to say. Do you need to talk to the barrister? Do you want to talk to a duty solicitor? Do you and will you engage with MABS afterwards? You know, if you're not already engaged.
How does somebody that's in court with the threat of losing their family home with their children and all that, like that must be very difficult for anybody to deal with.
Absolutely.
Like, this thing that because of, listen, we had a lot of hardship in this country in the last 10 years, whatever, recession and stuff. And I can imagine how many different cases.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
That you've came across where you've had young families, parents who've lost their jobs, not by their own fault or anything like this, and the threat of losing their own home, and then knowing that they're going to be homeless with their kids.
Yeah, that's the whole, I suppose, the genesis or the aim of Walia is that that doesn't happen. Yeah. And despite what everybody would think, the banks don't want to repossess. Mm-hmm. They really don't want to put people out. So Walia is there, and then last week, I don't know if you heard, there was a new website launched, Dealing with Debt, it's called, and it was about engaging. So it was really, it was a MABS with the Banking Payments Federation of Ireland, BPFI. It's a protocol that we have since the crash in 2008. Mm. After that, we designed this protocol that we both need to work together. We're independent of the banks, fully independent, but we have to work with them to get the best solution for people. Yeah. So it is a very stressful time. So I totally appreciate somebody might get a letter for court, and not just for their house, but maybe for, because you still get court letters for debts that you haven't paid. So I can't pay it. The first thing you might do is put it in the drawer. Mm. Of course, I get that.
So we deal with people in all classes. So if there's anybody listening to this and you're struggling financially, or there's debt collectors knocking at your door, ring MABS.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you feel that you're able to do a little bit of it yourself and you're kind of not ready to take a step to get support, go onto our website. And if you go onto our website, there's tools for you to do things yourself, to maybe to start doing your budget.
Yeah.
Maybe when you do your budget, you're kind of going, oh, I can make changes here and things will be okay. Or, there's you can see, actually, is my income right? That's always the first start. Is my tax right? Have I any social welfare supports?
Yeah.
But we would love to see people before they're panicking about a letter or they're getting a court letter. And physically I'm based in, my office in Blanchardstown, and I look out and past the fields of Verona, if you know the football pitch, right? So past that is Cool Mine. And I've often been in and working, because during the recovery, we do education sessions, and it is about building financial skills and budgeting skills. And we do a similar program in prisons. But particularly in both settings, people would say, now I see I have a lot of debt that I don't remember taking, or I don't remember not paying. And when life takes over, whether it's an emotional thing, so somebody who's bereaved, somebody who is in an addiction or coming into recovery, you mightn't add everything up and go, I didn't pay that, or I forgot I got that loan.
When you're in an addiction, you don't care, and you'll take on whatever debt you can get just to get the quick fix, because you're like, what are they going to do? They can't take for what they don't have, and what are they going to go to prison, sure I am. But when you come into recovery, then you've faced the responsibility.
Yeah, and there is support and there's ways out. To not ways out of the debt, but to manage it, to get through it. There absolutely is.
What's your opinion on the likes of Provident and Klarna that provide fast credit but expensive? And do people come to you getting into trouble there? Or?
Well, MABS was actually originally set up because of money lending.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily always the regulated lending. There was a couple of unregulated pieces as well, and particularly from Cork, and they were seeing that people on low income didn't qualify for other lending. Mm. So then they had no choice but to go to a high cost lender. So, Provident has left the Irish market. Obviously. So we have very few money lenders that are regulated under the central bank. But we do have a new product called Buy Now, Pay Later.
Yeah.
So that's where you can...
Like Home Finance and Klarna.
Dilch and Klarna, And I'm not picking on any company. If I could name them all, I would. Yeah. It's the product where you can actually buy a pizza and pay it over three payments. You could buy your Friday night takeaway. It is a source, an option for people who have no other option, but it's really important to know that it is a credit agreement and to be able to manage it, because the more they come out of your bank through your debit card, so then all of a sudden you might have two or three of them coming out at the one time. And can you afford a food shop this week?
So how, give us a brief example of how that works. So, for example, if somebody went away and they got €30 takeaway out, just for example, what would be the repayment on something like that?
It'd be 3 payments of €10.
If it's paid within the time frame. And then anything after that is about 22% finance.
Yeah, well, so like APR. General money lending is anything above 22.9% is considered a money lending loan. Mm-hmm. Anything below it is a financial agreement. So the high cost is problematic for anybody. But unfortunately, for some people, it's the only option that they have. Where we do have to always recognise that... life events happen. Yeah. You might need something and you don't qualify for other because of your credit rating or because you haven't got a high disposable income. So maybe high cost, high risk credit is the only option for you.
And I'll just give a brief example of something like that. So, family, man, woman, husband, wife, 2 kids, and they're trying to save. They're paying all their bills. They have a good budget. They have a good budget and things work out. Next, all of a sudden... something comes in, a big thing out of nowhere, and these are the times that people go to these high money lenders.
They
get caught up in it.
And sure.
What happens then is they mightn't be able to make this payment. Interest climbs.
Let's say if you're working in a trade, right, and you have to get a loan off Gwen because something big came in, and then you're paying Gwen, and then you get injured, you can't work. You're screwed then.
So there's. I suppose there's a few financial products that would be really high interest, like an overdraft as well. And then the thing with an overdraft is that if you go into overdraft every week...
It's an overdraft.
So an overdraft is in your bank where you get to zero and say you have if you had an approved overdraft of €500, you can spend until you get to negative €500 in your bank, right? But then when you get paid, your overdraft is the first thing that gets paid. So now you're down €500 on your wages. And that again is that hamster wheel, that cycle, because now you're down 500. So now you're going to struggle. So you're going to have to go back into overdraft again. And it's very difficult to get out of these things. So
the one thing I never went down the route of was credit cards and stuff like that. Like if I don't have it in my bank account, I can't spend it.
Yeah.
You know, but
I'm in MABS since January 96. If I don't have a budget, oh my God, I'd be one of my own clients.
Yeah.
I have to mind myself. I am that carpenter who never has a painting hung or whatever. Do you know what I mean? But I'd find that once I have my budget, then I can relax into it and I can enjoy it. But I know what type of a spender I am. And that's really important to know, because that's where your trigger is. And then to know what's coming out. Because sometimes we forget about all the expenses that are coming out.
Yeah, another thing that people mightn't be aware of, and I wasn't aware of, but when I was going through college and I needed to get a laptop, so I had it, and I'd no credit union account or bank account or anything like that. But I had it in my head that... to get credit from the credit union, that you had to have a certain amount of savings, and the amount that you could borrow was so many times the savings, but that's actually not true.
It depends. The credit unions, each credit union will have their own rule, but a lot of the times it is 4 times or 3 times, but for your first couple of loans until you show.
But in the credit union where I was, which is on Shandon Street, Cathedral Credit Union, it wasn't so many times, like I didn't even have an account there. I went in and opened an account to get €500 for the laptop.
Right.
It was just, you had to prove that you could pay it back.
Yeah.
So if you had a basic social welfare payment that they could pay €20 a week over the next 12 months, that was it, you know.
I think that might have been called the It Makes Sense loan, which was really, it was very much aimed at trying to keep people away from high cost lending.
Yeah.
But if we go back to the story about, you know, your family where they're ticking along and everything, and all it takes is a large bill or the fridge breaks or something like that, right? And everything's gone. Everything's gone out of kilter. Some people might have an entitlement for an assistance there. So the last 2 years, government has been expanding what's called the additional needs payments.
That's through the community welfare
officer. So people who are working can approach as well. Used to traditionally be an EMP or an exceptional needs payment, which was only for people who were not working or people who were on a very low threshold. But in because people were struggling with particularly fuel costs, people can apply for an additional needs payment. Now, I can't say you're going to get it, but no. I would apply. Absolutely.
All this information.
No. Yeah. And but we don't know yeah. until you're in trouble.
You ask.
Yeah. yeah. No, until you're in trouble.
That's
sometimes.
Where shame comes in. Then,
exactly.
For people. Like
yeah.
Growing up, like, I grew up in poverty, you know, and I suppose I have no issue asking anybody for anything today because of back then, because I knew if I didn't do what I had to do and knock at doors and go here for my mum, we would have starved.
Yeah.
You know, and people need to understand that there's no shame whatsoever in putting a hand out and asking for a bit of assistance.
No.
You know, it's completely human because we all have it. We all struggle at some stage in our life.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things for me within understanding human beings is when you see another human being struggling and asking for help, you will bend around the corner to help them.
Yeah.
You will do it absolutely. Because for the main reason is we all know how it feels, the struggle, and how difficult it can be for somebody to ask for help. You know,
asking for help is usually the hardest bit, isn't it, really? And we will, and not patronisingly, but we will usually acknowledge somebody calling us for the first time because it's a hard thing to do. You're ringing up saying, I feel I'm no good with my money. Now, that's not what we hear, but that's what people sense that they're saying. And I had mentioned earlier, we have a few buzzwords that we would use. So we're taglines or, you know, descriptors. We're free. We're confidential and independent. So we have data privacy contracts with clients. So it keeps it, unless somebody agrees that we can tell their story to somebody, we can't. But we're also non-judgmental, which is really important for us because people are coming with that judgment on their shoulders already. Now, I'll always say to people, we have to ask you questions. We have to ask you questions to be able to try and determine the best route for you, the best solution. And because we're a holistic service, and holistic is one of those words that not an awful lot of people know what it means. Mm. We don't treat just the problem. We try to treat the symptoms and what maybe brought about the difficulty. So if somebody, we don't just look to get the debt solution. That's the ideal. But we look at what happened before that to get to that place. So is it maybe education? Is it maybe we link them in with a local employment service? Is there mental or emotional health, or perhaps there's addictions, and we work to, we would refer people, and we have quite a big network. So while MABS is an independent service, we work with a huge network of people to try to be holistic in our approach.
No, I know this question is going to be completely maybe out of context.
Here. Okay.
But, you know, at the moment, there's a massive issue in this country in relation to young people using a lot of drugs.
Okay.
And building up massive drug debts. Okay. And parents, mothers and fathers and other family members are getting their doors knocked on.
Yep.
With big bills, and they don't know what to do. And they're struggling and they're suffering in silence. And it's happened everywhere. Do you get many people coming to you in relation to this stuff as well?
We don't get as many people coming to us that we believe is out there.
Yeah.
We would have people who come, and they've come because they might be paying a debt and other things in their budget starts to struggle. And then it's when we talk to them through that holistic process of trying to figure what has come about here that they might disclose.
Mm.
Some people don't feel safe to disclose, and I get that. Because there's obviously a threat there. We have had some
and shame.
Yeah, for some people that there as well. We would have had this as well in the beginning with the illegal money lenders, where people didn't want to tell us, and I shouldn't use the word illegal, but the unregulated lending.
Yeah.
People didn't want to tell us that they had an unregulated loan in case we were going to tell the guards or something like that, but we can't. That's up to...
It's a confidential service.
Yeah. So it's up to somebody to report it themselves if they want to. Excuse me. So can I...
Okay.
Sorry.
Take some water.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I don't think that we see as many people as are maybe struggling. It's a reality now.
And the reason I'm saying is because I know somebody who had to break their budget down to be able to pay for a bill. You know, these people were struggling as well.
Yeah.
They were getting through just about. And they had to come up with some payment plan to pay off a drug debt for their son.
And
they had to restructure everything. And it was like every single week was counting what they had on a Friday to get Eddie's debts to see what they had at the end of the week. And it was an absolute torture for me to see from the outside.
Yeah.
And for other family members as well to watch as well, like, because no one really had the money to be able to pay this off. And they also wanted to teach this lad a lesson of the stress and anxiety he's causing within the family, and the just complete unorganisation and how everybody's just really, really...
reactive, constantly reactive to try and fit.
You know?
And it wouldn't be just to drug deaths, it'd be gambling as well. Gambling is a really big thing at the moment, and particularly since COVID. If you think back to the 2020, a lot of the ads were trying to reach people. You know, I always remember there was the new bingo one, and it was kind of aimed at household, at mothers. You know, are you bored at home kind of thing? And and it gets people in, you know, and it's... That's why it's important for us to work holistically, because we do try to help some. So if we can see somebody, and you see Paddy Power or whatever other Ladbroke, not to pick any name, but you see a lot of betting going out on a bank statement. It's important for us to support somebody to address that, because as you both will know well, me telling you to pay your bills isn't going to help anything if you're in any kind of an addiction. Gambling, drink, drugs. If I'm telling you need to pay your bills, I don't think I'm not going to win that conversation. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's saying to somebody to get support. And again, no judgment on anybody in that way, but we have to work with somebody getting support in something else. Mm. It would be the same if somebody comes to us with severe mental health issues. Mm. We will really encourage them to try to seek support because dealing with debt is going to be difficult, and sometimes it's very emotional for people.
Yeah.
And if they're struggling mentally and emotionally, then their abilities and capacity to deal with things are going to be reduced. And so we would always encourage people to seek counselling. And I think counselling is sometimes people are not comfortable with it.
Yeah.
You know, because they're kind of...
It's not the norm in this country.
It's not. If you think about, like, you'd often see a lot of American TV shows and everybody has a therapist. It's quite normalised. And that's what I think, it'd be great if it was normalised here in a way, because more people would do a prevention piece, you know, to their mental health and emotional health.
Yeah. But they say we're behind the Americans by 20 or 30 years, so let's hope 10, 15 years' time, hopefully.
Hopefully.
People will be looking at therapy as in like just something
as a norm.
Normally, they go on a weekly basis, like going to a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Therapy there. I'll see you tomorrow.
But it's the same if you look at, if you think about bankruptcy in America, it's like 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Sure, bankrupt. I'll try again. You know, bankrupt. I'll try again.
What happens to the debt?
We don't have it's that here. It's written off. No. Well, it'll depend on the. So in Ireland, we have 4 bankruptcy or insolvency. People will always call it bankruptcy, but personal insolvency solutions. So, and again, this isn't a business solution because there's different bankruptcy regulations for business. But when Dan was on, he talked about going bankrupt, right? So his was a year. But then there's, so to be bankrupt or to be made a bankrupt, you have to be unsuitable for the other lesser solutions. So there's a debt relief notice, which is for people who have no mortgage, very little assets, and a maximum of 35,000 in debt. And that's an insolvency solution where there's nothing paid and the debts are written off after 3 years. Now, again, there's eligibility on that, but it's a solution. And then there's 2 other solutions in between. A DSA, a debt settlement arrangement, which doesn't have a mortgage debt in it. And then a personal insolvency arrangement, P for property. So it has a home mortgage piece in there. Mm. And they can last maybe up to 5 years. Some of them are shorter. Most of them are shorter, to be honest. And they give the aim of any insolvency solution is at the other end of it, the end of that 5 years, that you're debt-free or at least arrears-free and you're in a performing stage.
Mm.
Well, if somebody gets re-involved in a different business in the meantime of that, and they're making money from that business, do the whoever's the authority over the
bankruptcy,
come in and say, oh, you're making money here, we're going to take this.
That's called an official assignee is their title in the insolvency service. And they oversee all the bankruptcy orders. And the bankruptcy order is the one that's for business and personal debt. So they would have provisions where you can return. The whole aim of insolvency is to return people to good financial health and to be able to be a consumer in society again. So here's the best part, right? MABS is the best money advice or debt advice service in Europe by a peer review. We are, because of how we're funded, how we're structured, equal access for everybody. So in some countries, you can only access if you go into insolvency. You can only access if you have an addiction or a criminal record. You can only access. So there's, some of them would have that social inclusion perspective. Yeah. We have an all. Everybody can access this. And because of that, we were deemed best in Europe and we still carry that badge very proudly. But we were nearly the last to have insolvency solutions in Ireland. They only came in 2012, really started in 2013. So still we're getting used to them. But sometimes I think that our insolvency solutions were a little later because MABS was so good at getting out of court arrangements. And we still do that. We still probably do more out-of-court arrangements than we do insolvency arrangements.
So for anybody that doesn't understand the word insolvency, what's the explanation?
So insolvency is a statutory, so I'm conscious of that word as well, so it's a legal contract of bringing you out of a debt. It's a debt solution, it's approved by court, and it will always have the feature in it that it's to bring you back to good financial health at the other end. So your arrears, you might have a write down, you might have a total discharge of debt. It'll all depend on your situation. The solutions that are driven is by your income, your debt value, your future earnings, your maybe pension, those kind of things. So you have two options if you have debt here. To manage debt, you can manage it what's called a voluntary arrangement, which is just between you and the bank or you and the utility company or your rent or your mortgage, whoever it is. And then the other one is a statutory solution, which is through the court. And that's a court certificate that is issued to the creditors to say, this is the solution that you've been given. And then with the voluntary solution, you get a little bit more freedom in some ways, but you don't get the court certificate. So to qualify for the voluntary solution, you have certain income limits that you have to work to. To qualify for there is none. There's no income limits for a voluntary solution. So there's generally something so that somebody can access.
If somebody goes bankrupt, at what stage are they allowed to just put that part of their life behind them and start again and open up a business and work a job and bring money into their house?
We still have some restrictions for a bankrupt, which is the last of the, as I said, you have to be disqualified for the other. With bankruptcy, yes, there are some provisions that will have, like you have to disclose it for future lending, but the bank can still lend to you. Because the whole idea is a fresh start. And with a fresh start, it's that you're back into society of, and I mean the economic society of lending, of spending. You're going to increase, possibly increase your own kind of quality of life. So therefore you might earn more and so on. So that's the ideal. Yeah. But there are questions and there are some restrictions if you have been bankrupt. Yeah. But with the other insolvency solutions, they don't have the same restrictions. So, but in the voluntary solutions, there aren't any restrictions like that. So,
what's your website and if people want to reach out?
Mabs.ie. Nice and easy. Just M-A-B-S. And on that, then you can get in to have a look at all our tools. All our stuff that we do a lot of social policy stuff. If anybody is really interested, we would look at the lived experience of policy. I think it would be very disrespectful to our clients if we don't report on the difficulties that they experience. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you can see that on our website. But you can also have your own tools to look and, yeah. and see where is your budget at. Do you need support or can you do it yourself?
Yeah.
And then you have
templates for people then.
Yeah. All, yeah, that. All that's on the website.
That's amazing.
And then it's, if anybody is listening that has sight issues, most of our website, we're still developing parts of it, are screen reader friendly, so we'll see us changing over time, taking down some of our PDFs because they're not as easy to read. If anybody's having difficulty with words, with reading, if anybody has literacy issues or numeracy issues, you can just walk into a MABS office, explain your difficulties.
Yeah.
So if you don't know where your local MABS is, you could ring our helpline. Can I plug our helpline?
Do.
Yeah. So it's 0818 07 2000. 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. to try and help for people who are working.
Yeah.
And but all I'd ever say is, never be afraid to ring us and ask, are you for me? But try not to be alone in it, because that's the heartbreaking thing for me.
No need to soldier on.
No.
You can suffer on.
No.
The support, yeah.
I'm 28 years doing it and I still love it. But I really believe in that bit, that nobody should be alone and struggling financially.
Yeah.
If they don't know where they're going, if they don't know what they owe.
Yeah.
Or how to do it, or what to do.
You're doing important work.
Thank you.
Thanks a million. And I hope to people listening, I'm actually found it informative.
I didn't, yeah.
Yeah, me too. We'll be doing that assessment on the way home.
I'll be checking on it on Thursday. Yeah.
But thanks for
sending it off.
Thanks very much. And we see everybody next week.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.